Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Andrew Honecke. This week's guest is House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson, who joins us to talk about the reconciliation bill's impact on agriculture, the farm bill, trade, and USDA downsizing. But first, here's this week's headlines. The House of Representatives approved the reconciliation bill that includes funding for key parts of the farm bill, expands key tax benefits widely used by farmers and small businesses, and boosts spending for commodity programs and crop insurance. The bill passed by a one-vote margin, 215 to 214, and now heads to the Senate, where changes could be made. In the Senate, the reconciliation process allows the bill to pass with a simple majority, avoiding a Democratic filibuster. However, any changes to the bill made in the Senate would force the modified version to be sent back to the House. The bill includes big wins for farmers, including the tax benefits and the more than $56 billion increase for farm bill programs like higher reference prices and the price loss coverage program. It would also bring IRA conservation funding into the farm bill baseline and remove restrictions that limit the dollars to climate smart practices. However, the bill still has historic cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, projected at $295 billion. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says the department does not plan on offering another round of buyouts, but the department still plans to release a reorganization plan that has been delayed by litigation. The plan would require moving some USDA employees out of the National Capital Region. The department has lost 15,000 employees through two rounds of buyouts. And finally, House Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson says he's ready to start working on a standalone farm bill now that the House is done with the budget reconciliation process. Thompson says some of the provisions included in the bill would address hemp production, protect pesticide manufacturers from lawsuits if products meet federal labeling requirements, and prevent states from setting animal production standards that other states must follow, like California's Prop 12. Congressman G.T. Thompson is the chairman of the House Ag Committee. We asked him why the reconciliation bill is so important for agriculture.
Our farm families probably are among the biggest winners within that bill. First of all, it prevents the largest tax increase in history, and that's significant. It includes a permanent fix for the death tax, raises the level of which assets would be taxed. I think that's good for the large majority of our farms and farmers as they try to pass them on to the next generation. 199A, which is an important provision in agriculture, and then just the tax, the individual taxes that benefit every American, certainly farm families. And then you dig a little deeper within the bill and you'll find provisions like what we did in education workforce. Our farm kids have been discriminated against when it came to being eligible for educational loans. Because the Biden administration changed the criterion from revenue to assets. And everybody knows that farmers are asset rich and cash poor. And you have to, so what part of a farm do you liquidate in order to be able to pay for your child's education? And so we fixed that. We did a $60 billion investment for our farmers and for rural America. The safety net, the commodity title, the increase of 10 to 20% for each of the commodities. We were able to put in there adding new basis, for farmers that have never had it, whether new, young, and beginning, or someone who's farmed their whole lives. The improvements to the dairy margin coverage. When you look at crop insurance, which is probably the most popular farm bill program that we have, we actually make the premiums more affordable and we make the products more versatile so that they may help with disaster type relief. And at the same time, we extend it to the specialty crops.
There are many pieces of the committee's farm bill last year that are left out of this reconciliation legislation, including provisions That's dealing right. with Prop 12, California's restrictions on how livestock are raised. What is your plan for enacting those farm bill provisions that are being left behind?
Well, we have a great, we know what they are. As you mentioned, we had the Farm Food and National Security Act of 2024. So we'll have the Farm Food and National Security Act 2025. The reason the things were left out of reconciliation, because they had to meet certain criterion according to the Senate rules. And so it had to change in finances, either cost savings or increase investments. So you mentioned Prop 12. That's a very important piece of legislation that that will be a part of the bill that we put together, as it was last time. And that was a bill passed with bipartisan votes in the last Congress. Just the Senate had done nothing, and that's why it didn't go any further than our committee. We're going to deal with the hemp issue. We don't have sugar wars in this farm bill, but we do have hemp wars. A pesticide labeling, that was a part of the previous farm bill, and we're going to deal with it this time. I just can't imagine the cost of farming if you're dealing with a company that has to jump through hoops 50 different states when it comes to labeling. And so, we trust the EPA, we trust the EPA scientists. And so we'll deal with that labeling issue in a part of it. And then there's a lot of other things in there that weren't appropriate for reconciliation. Obviously, rural economic development, what we do with broadband and making sure that we have connectivity all across the country, back the longest farm lane and deep in the forests. And there's quite a bit yet that needs to be done, all very, very important. And looking forward to doing that.
We'll be back with more from House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson right after this.
These are the farmers and ranchers who help build the America we depend on. And Farm Credit is here for them, supporting rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services. In good times and bad, we provide loans to farmers and ranchers, farmer-owned cooperatives, rural homebuyers, agribusinesses, and rural infrastructure providers. We help agricultural producers feed the world. Learn more today.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you
Yes.
asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
Welcome back. The U.S. and China have lowered tariffs on each other, and President Trump announced what he called a historic trade deal with the United Kingdom. However, the threat of trade wars still has farmers worried. We asked House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson if they should be worried and what he's hearing from producers in his state.
Well, I think we should always be cautious. I'm hearing the same thing from my farmers as I'm hearing from farmers and ranchers all across the country. Trade does create some anxiety for us because we rely on trade when it comes to American agriculture. It helps offset any problems that we're having domestically, and having robust foreign markets is incredibly important. But I want to remind people that President Trump's only been in office a little over 100 days, and he's got China at the table now. He has probably over 100 countries who are knocking on the White House door wanting to do a deal. I got a call about a month ago from the U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer. He called me on a Sunday morning and before I was going to church and said, Chairman, we're putting a framework together with India. And I'm thinking that's incredible because India has more stomachs to fill than any other nation in the world. And the call was to let me know that, but also they asked me what did I see the implications for American agriculture. And all that is just in a little over 100 days. And so I understand the anxiety and how important trade is to the American farmer. I just asked it to give President Trump and his team a little grace because he's making great progress.
Turning to USDA now and the federal downsizing that's happening there, about 15,000 employees have taken buyouts, including large numbers of scientists. Does the department have the staff left that it needs to have to protect American agriculture or to do critical research?
Well, in the performance of our oversight of USDA and working shoulder to shoulder with Secretary Rollins, that is my expectation. Size really doesn't matter when it comes to the size of USDA. It's literally, it's huge. And if there's downsizing, I understand that, you know, more efficient government is preferred, but it has to be just as effective or more effective. And so I trust Secretary Rollins. I've also been encouraging the different trade associations, different groups, take the opportunity here. We got, incredibly experienced people that are choosing, electing to take a voluntary buyout. I'm not crazy about that program. I don't like losing people that are highly effective, highly efficient. But at the same time, if they're going to do that, they're available. So I encourage our the commercial side and the trade groups, let's try to scoop these people up. They tend to be the best and the brightest in their respective fields. Let's keep them working on behalf of the American farmer, and just will be on the other side of the coin, not the government side.
House Agriculture Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back with our panel discussion, but first, Lydia Johnson looks at farm bankruptcies across the country in this week's Map It Out.
After a four-year downward trend, U.S. farm bankruptcies are on the rise. 216 U.S. farms filed for Chapter 12 bankruptcy in 2024, which marks a 55% increase from the previous year. As you can see on this chart, California led the nation with 17 filings, up by 6 from the previous year. Arkansas was second with 16 filings, an increase of 9 from the year prior. Nebraska was third with 15 filings, showing an increase of 8 filings over the previous year. In 2024, 14 states and territories had 0 filings. 7 states went from having no filings in 2023 to at least 1 in 2024. Net farm income in 2024 reached a 4-year low, decreasing about 24% in just 2 years. As producers work through planting season, many are making decisions about how to finance their operations for the upcoming year. They're expecting to receive emergency commodity assistance program payments this summer to provide some economic relief despite continued challenging conditions. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Register now for the 2025 AgriPulse Food and Ag Issue Summit in California. The event will offer participants a full day of presentations and panel discussions. You can hear from members of the California Legislature, food and agriculture leaders, along with industry experts and academics. This summit takes place June 10th in Sacramento and through our virtual experience. See the latest information and register with the QR code on your screen or under the Events tab at agripulse.com.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where this week's panel is going to focus on everything that happened with the reconciliation bill, what could happen with the farm bill, and a little bit on USDA downsizing. Joined this week by Jim Richards with Cornerstone Government Affairs and Ann Simmons with the Peterson Group. Thank you both very much for joining me this morning. And Jim, I want to start with you first, sir. You know, that big, beautiful budget bill that Republicans put together in the House, it provides new funding for farm bill programs with savings from nutrition assistance. Who's going to benefit the most from this in agriculture?
Bottom line answer on that is the Title I commodity covered producers that are going to, if this thing gets enacted, which I think it will probably by middle of July when they're all said and done, but it's going to be those producers that have their updated reference prices and new reference prices to use as marketing tools. That are going to be major beneficiaries. There are other components within the other titles of this reconciliation package from the Natural Resources Committee, from the Energy and Commerce Committee, that also are going to benefit rural America and agriculture producers on the energy front, on permitting front, on fire control front, et cetera. But primarily, it's going to be those producers that are impacted by reference prices and what it'll do for those orphan programs that have been stranded for far too long.
We know that bill now moves on to the Senate. How do you think the bill will end up being changed in the Senate?
I think it's safe to say that Senator Bozeman there's not a big gap on where GT through that Herculean effort that he and the committee made are on the SNAP front, but there is some rumbling on the reference price fronts and what's going on there that I think could be potentially problematic, that you'd see a little bit of a change. And if there is some substantive change on that front, particularly on the Title I front, then, you know, it becomes difficult to understand whether or not that's something that the House would be willing to accept, because you've got procedural issues here, primarily because we don't really do conferences anymore like we used to in the old days. One, and two, the clock is ticking, particularly with the debt ceiling. And so that's why I've been in the middle of July kind of time frame for this reconciliation package to be done for months. And the more change you make, the more the opportunity or the greater the chance that the House is not going to be able to pass or accept what comes back from the Senate. I think there's going to be some changes at the end of the day, but I don't think that you can get too far off of what the House produces, and which will be to create something that will be acceptable to the House and the Senate.
And Ann, I'd like to bring you into the discussion now, ma'am. You know, Democrats in the House and the Senate have stressed that cutting nutrition assistance to fund farm programs is going to make it harder to pass a farm bill later. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to repeat a familiar adage when it comes to that question, which is farm bills have traditionally needed Democrats and Republicans to pass. I know going back to the 2008 bill, Colin Peterson, you know, wondered, was that the last farm bill? We managed to get the 2014 and the 2018 bill done. But I would remind folks that both during 2014 process and the 2018 process, the first bills that went to the House floor failed. They went down because they were partisan and they had no Democratic votes and they weren't able to get enough Republican support for either of those versions. So in the long run, like I said, I think Democrats will come back. There is a lot of heartburn, a lot of mistrust now because of what was done to SNAP in the One Big Beautiful Bill package. But I think there is always a chance for folks to work together. I think the sentiment that our Democratic members had in the last Congress still prevails, which is most of them, they all want to work together to try and get a bipartisan farm bill done.
We'll be back with more of our panel discussion right after this.
Think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
It's not as simple as just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Successful Farming presents the 15 Minutes with a Farmer podcast. In each episode, a successful farming editor has a quick conversation with a farmer, chock full of stories and advice from their area of agriculture. They're interesting, educational, and perfect for your busy schedule. Search for 15 Minutes with a Farmer wherever you download your podcasts.
Welcome back. We asked Jim Richards and Ann Simmons if farmers should be worried that we may not see comprehensive farm bills after the partisanship we've seen on this reconciliation legislation.
It's going to be very difficult, which is one of the reasons that I think GT has, in particular, has pushed so hard, and Senator Bozeman understands very well that they've got to take care of some of the core components in this reconciliation process if they can, because those vote margins don't get any easier for the next 20 months. And the outcomes and the budgetary stresses that exist across the government, much less within the farm sector, don't diminish. If anything, they become more extreme. So it's tough. We all want it to happen, and we don't, and we want to be wrong that the 18 was the last great farm bill, but time will tell. But I'm a pragmatic optimist in that until it's not done, then there's a chance to get it done. And hopefully for the sake of the folks that Ann and I know so well and our families across the country that this is important too, that we'll get there. But it's going to be tough, to be brutally honest.
And Ann, your thoughts as well on that?
I would agree with what Jim said, and I would just add, and this isn't a partisan comment, it's as an observer of what happened. GT Chairman Thompson got a bill out of a bipartisan vote coming out of committee last year, and still couldn't move a bill. So I'm not going to indicate whether I think things are better or worse this time around for moving a bill, but I think folks need to be concerned about House Republican leadership and putting their focus there about what are they going to be doing to help GT and Senator Chairman Bozeman get a bill done.
And I'd like to wrap with the issue of federal downsizing, particularly with what's going on at USDA. And we know Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins is expected to release the department's downsizing plan soon, which she says will focus on protecting services to farmers and making the department more efficient. Do you think farmers or consumers will notice the impact of the department's downsizing positively or negatively?
To neither two places that this is going to impact. If they move headquarters folks out to the countryside, I think the concern there is the potential brain drain and losing a lot of folks with a lot of knowledge and experience. Yes, you can build that back, but that takes time. And the impact of losing those folks is you're not able to implement a farm bill as quickly. You're not able to implement and get out into the field other programs or initiatives that the secretary and the president might have. The other, obviously, impact is going to be on field services and local offices, county offices, what that means. And I know she said she's not going to close any more offices. I assume they're still going to look at their optimally staffed office initiative that the Trump administration was working on, Secretary Perdue had in the first term, to look at, you know, what's the best location for these? How many staff do we need per office to get that best service? I would also add NRCS, obviously, is another concern for folks because it was Chief Lohr, NRCS Chief Lohr during the first Trump administration that wanted to get to 12,000 FTE. And there's more conservation money out there, not less. So I think that's going to be another big impact in addition to FSA loan officers as well.
Well, certainly a lot to be paying attention to here as we move forward on both the reconciliation front and the federal downsizing front. Jim, Ann, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll be back with more AgriPulse newsmakers, but first, Lydia Johnson looks at the country's top agricultural imports by commodity in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Nearly $149 billion worth of consumer-oriented agricultural goods were imported in 2024. If tariffs escalate, consumers could begin to feel the effect in the grocery aisle. Produce, bakery products, and alcohol could be the first to see a jump in price. As you can see on this chart, fresh fruits and fruit products were the top imported commodity in 2024, accounting for $29 billion. Vegetables were second at $22 billion. Bakery products and pasta trailed at $14 billion, followed by distilled spirits and beef and veal at $11 billion. Nearly 80% of the U.S.'s ag imports are supplied from just 10 countries, including many targeted by President Trump's tariffs. Mexico and Canada were the top suppliers, followed by the European Union, Brazil, and China, respectively. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Register now for the 2025 AgriPulse Food and Ag Issue Summit in California. The event will offer participants a full day of presentations and panel discussions. You can hear from members of the California Legislature, food and agriculture leaders, along with industry experts and academics. This summit takes place June 10th in Sacramento and through our virtual experience. See the latest information and register with the QR code on your screen or under the Events tab at AgriPulse.com.
Check out our full lineup of Successful Farming podcasts. The Successful Farming podcast goes in-depth into the topics that affect farmers and ranchers. The 15 Minutes with a Farmer podcast offers a quick conversation between an editor and a farmer. The SF Shorts podcast offers bite-sized interviews about agricultural topics. And the SF Daily podcast covers commodity markets, weather, and the big things happening in agriculture each morning. Search for Successful Farming wherever you download your podcasts.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Here's what's on the horizon for next week. Both the House and Senate will not be in session. USDA's Economic Research Service will release its quarterly ag trade forecast on Thursday. And lastly, sign-up is open for the AgriPulse Food and Ag Issues Summit in Sacramento, California on June 10th. You can gain insights on water issues, the ag economy, and perspectives from the California Capitol from industry leaders and lawmakers. To sign up, visit the Events tab on our website, www.agripulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.